if that doesn't happen and the parent is putting that ego self onto the child, I've heard you describe that the child sort of splits away, that they protect their deeper self.
Yeah, they do. They have to survive, right? Like we all have to survive. So what are the ways of surviving? So the main way is that we forsake or abandon our true self, or, you know, that poor true self didn't even have a chance to fully develop because it was having to, you know, constantly fend off the projections of the environment. And the more unconscious the parent is, the greater they put these projections, this heavy mantle, the second skin, the third skin on the child. So the child could never really develop their true skin.
That was a clip that I wanted to share with you from the episode where I interviewed Dr. Shefali. It was such an honor to have her on the show. And I wanted to bring up the point that I thought was just so powerful, so meaningful, has blown me away, something I've been thinking about ever since we talked. She says that to survive, we abandon our true selves. These projected images that our parents don't intend to, but they've put on us, cause us to never develop our true skin, our true selves. So we wonder why we can't decide on dinner. We can't decide where to live, what to do with our lives in a way that feels completely at peace within our inner selves. It's because we haven't found that deeper self, so we don't know how to say yes, and we don't know how to say no to the things we want or don't want in our lives. So it's simple, yet many of us convince ourselves day to day that we should do things that are not aligned with our deeper self. Why? Dr. Shefali, clinical psychologist, been on Oprah, traveling the country, explaining these ideas, is sharing with us because we never learned how to speak our truth. Because our family's projections were so strong that we got lost in those projections and we never got the opportunity to develop that deeper sense of self. We split off from that truth. And now we make decisions from our minds, right? Our minds are filled with pros and cons, how to get other people's approvals, all these incredible things, which can be helpful and are necessary in our journey, in our process. But when we don't have that deeper self, how do we ever figure out what it is that we want? How do we build a life that makes sense for us?
Yes, yes. But as parents, we have to seize the power we have in the moment. And it's in these ordinary little moments where we get to say, okay, what matters right now? Does it matter that my child feel rejected for an external validation of a grade? Or can I separate the external validation at this moment and let my child step into their own journey, their own body, and their own relationship with their experience versus me putting it onto them? So it's in those very subtle moments where we get to make choices and step back and say as parents, you know, whatever your daughter or your son's name is, Jake, Jack. And this is, of course, after they're 7 years old or 6 years old, so they can comprehend. And you say to them, look, these are the things that go into getting this result. I can help you get these results. This is the effort it's going to take. These are the conditions I will create in the home, such as I'll create a quiet place. I will be there to assist you. I will give you healthy, nourishing food so you can get to that goal. I will drive you to the place that will help you get that goal, or I will give you the tools and skills in that subject matter, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to put in the effort and care enough to get that goal. Mm-hmm. I'm not invested in that goal because I think you're perfect and whole and complete the way you are. If you want that goal, I'm here to assist you. And always providing that assistantship and the space and the room for the kid to grow into it, but not telling the kid inadvertently or unconsciously that I will approve of you only if you create that external goal in your life. And I think parents sometimes forget how important it is to teach children that I see you, I care about you, and you matter to me. Whether you get that A grade, the B grade, you're a soccer star, or you're just in your room reading a book or doing nothing, I validate you and I honor you for who you are.
Dr. Shefali once again shares such pearls of wisdom. The simple, simple, simple point that I'm here to assist you in your life, But I honor you and validate for who you are today. I see you. I care about you. You matter. Unfortunately, most of us didn't get that message. And if you're a parent out there, you might not be offering that message to your children. But then they don't feel that who they are is enough. We're only good enough for the grades, for the things we do, for the projection that we put forward into the world, but not who we are as people. And when that doesn't happen, we don't know who we are, and we resort to a life designed from our minds. We can't see ourselves anymore, so we rely on what other people have told us and what we believe to be the, quote, smart choice in life. So say you want to change jobs. Say you come to me and you want to do coaching and you want to talk about how to make a change, but you don't know where to start because you haven't validated who you are. You haven't felt as if that is enough. So we try to make sense. We try to make smart decisions. But you can't make a choice for yourself when you don't know yourself. And if you haven't had a chance to embody your truth and your voice, how can you make life choices to figure out how to change jobs or how to find the relationship of your dreams? But you can. You can take steps to find that voice. You just need to learn how. Like a child who's learning how to walk for the first time, you have to learn how to find your truth step by step until your truth is your first instinct, the unconscious default, not the one that's buried deep beneath the mind's chaotic and misleading views.
Okay, so first, the disconnect will show up in many external ways. First, life doesn't go your way. You know, your boss is upset with you and your spouse is not working cooperatively and your friend was rude to you. So first, the cracks start showing up in external ways and our instinct is to blame everyone, right? My boss is mean, my friend was mean, my spouse is mean, my child is disobedient, and the weather is not being cooperative. Yeah. So we blame the whole external realm for our inner discontent. Yeah. And so this is the first sign that we are internally disconnected. When our external world begins to show up with loud resounding, I'm not helping you, I'm not supporting you, I'm not working well with you, this is how the internal disconnect shows up. So usually at this point, people kind of break down and they go seek help and therapy, and that's a good thing. And then the wise guide, the therapist, the parent, the friend kind of tells the person, you know, these are indications, these are wake-up calls for you to go, whoa, what inside me is disconnected and not aligned? Okay, so first you'd have to pay heed to the disconnect, right, is my first message to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're having conflict after conflict with your child, pay heed to that. That's a sign that there's something disconnected within you. And of course, it's easy to blame the kid and punish the kid and discipline the kid. But then what? At the end of the day, the only person who has power to change is you. So you have to then start saying to yourself, how can I start taking that pause in the moment and look in the mirror and not react? The first step is to not react. And the step to not react means to take a pause. And the way to take a pause is to invite yourself to say, for the next 3 days, I'm just going to enter silent mode and just pay attention. So if my child is being rude to me, I'm not going to react and say, why are you being rude to me? Or I'm going to punish you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm just going to listen and say, I hear you. I can see that you're upset. I'm going to watch and see how I've made you upset. And I'm going to pay attention. Just the willingness to turn inward and say, I'm going to pay attention, even though I want to yell at you and scream at you and make you feel bad for making me feel bad.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to just not take it personally for a moment and pay attention and begin to see how I'm contributing to your distress. So instead of blaming the world, we begin to turn our eyes inward and begin to ask the pivotal question, which is, how am I contributing to this upheaval in my life?
So the key thing is awareness, coming back to our authentic self. Interview after interview, book after book, I see the same theme. Nothing can start without awareness of what's going on with you. Our first instinct, as Dr. Shefali is saying, and so many brilliant, wonderful people have said, we stay focused on the world around us, in large part because we haven't developed that deeper sense of self. And in part because we think we won't like that deeper sense of self. So we focus on the external world. We blame, we get stuck on being a martyr and a victim, and we are upset with what other people may have done to us. But this is your work. It is your work to honor who you are. Maybe you weren't seen as a child. Maybe you weren't told you mattered. But now it's up to you. You must begin the journey by turning inward and creating the awareness of what's going on with you. If you stay in the blame victim space, you'll never be free. You'll never rise up, and you'll never have the empowered life that I know you desire. When you create the awareness and check in with what's going on with you, you can begin to grow. You can begin to learn about who you are and who you are not. And those disempowered voices of the mind that tell you you're not enough, you are not capable enough, you are not powerful enough, you are not lovable enough, for who you are must be managed, or they will be your undoing.
So we begin changing and liberating ourselves, and that is ultimately the most powerful thing we can do.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Thank you again, a big thank you for Dr. Shefali for coming on the show, doing this tremendous work and sharing these incredible ideas. They've changed my life, and I know they can change your life too.